Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hanmi Financial Corporation's fourth quarter and full year 2016 conference call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded for replay purposes. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, the conference will be open for questions. I'd now like to introduce Mr. Richard Pimentel, Senior Vice President and Corporate Finance Officer. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you all for joining us today. With me to discuss Hanmi Financial's fourth quarter and full year 2016 earnings are C.G. Coombe, our President and Chief Executive Officer, Bonnie Lee, Chief Operating Officer, and Ron Santarosa, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Coombe will begin with an overview of the quarter and full year, and Mr. Santarosa will then provide more details on our operating performance and credit quality. At the conclusion of the prepared remarks, we will open the session for questions. In today's call, we may include comments and forward-looking statements based on current plans, expectations, events, and financial industry trends that may affect the company's future operating results and financial position. Our actual results could be more different from those expressed or implied by our forward-looking statements, which involve risks and uncertainties. The speakers on this call claim the protection of the safe harbor provisions contained in the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. For some factors that may cause our results to differ from our expectations, please refer to our SEC filings, including our most recent Form 10-K and 10-Q. In particular, we direct you to the discussion in our 10-K of certain risk factors affecting our business. This morning, Hanmi Financial issued a news release outlining our financial results for the fourth quarter and full year of 2016, which can be found on our website at hanmi.com. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Coombe.
Thank you, Richard. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss our 2016 fourth quarter and full year results. We concluded 2016 with solid fourth quarter results driven by strong growth across the Hanmi franchise, along with the early contributions from a strategic acquisition that we completed during the quarter. Let me take a moment to summarize the highlights from this past quarter and year. Net income was higher compared to the prior quarter, due to a combination of strong loan growth and significantly lower expenses. Fourth quarter net interest income increased 6%, and net interest margin expanded 10 basis points from the prior quarter, reflecting the acquisition and commencement of our new commercial equipment leasing division. Loans receivable increased 8% in the quarter and nearly 21% during the year as a result of solid loan production coupled with the acquired equipment leasing portfolio. I'm pleased to report that we have been able to achieve this growth while maintaining our conservative underwriting standards and excellent asset quality. Deposit activities remain strong. Despite the normal seasonal slowdown in fourth quarter deposit gathering, we achieved a 1% increase in total deposits for the quarter and 9% growth for the full year. In addition, our ongoing commitment to enhancing efficiencies across the franchise was reflected in a significant improvement in our efficiency ratio. And importantly, along with our strong operational execution in the quarter, the acquisition and commencement of our new commercial equipment leasing division was an important strategic accomplishment that is immediately accretive to earnings and helps diversify our loan portfolio. Looking in more detail at our fourth quarter results, we reported net income of $14.4 million, or 45 cents per diluted share. On a linked quarter basis, net income increased by nearly 10%, or 4 cents per diluted share, compared with the third quarter of 2016. On a year-over-year basis, net income decreased slightly compared with the fourth quarter last year, which benefited from slightly higher negative provision for loan loss, along with higher gain on sale of PCI and SBA loans. For the full year in 2016, net income increased 5% compared to last year. I am also pleased to report that we have made significant progress in our effort to replace the benefits in recent prior periods from security sales, elevated PCI gains, and negative loan loss provisions with core sustainable earnings from loan growth and meaningful expense reductions. To this end, due primarily to the growth in loans, net interest income before provision for loan losses of $160 million increased more than 8% for the full year. In addition, full year 2016 non-interest expense of $108 million was more than 6% lower than the prior year. And importantly, as a result of the improvements from the growth in earning assets coupled with lower expenses, the efficiency ratio improved to 51.77% in the fourth quarter from 58.72% in the prior quarter and 56.78% from the fourth quarter last year. For the full year in 2016, our efficiency ratio improved to 56% from 58.93% in 2015. Looking at loans receivable, our total portfolio grew approximately 8% quarter over quarter and nearly 21% for the full year, driven by organic new loan production of $227 million in the fourth quarter and $869 million over the past 12 months. I'd also like to note that as we exited 2016, our loan pipeline remained healthy. In the fourth quarter, purchase loans included $26 million of single-family residential loans. In addition, the fourth quarter also included $228 million of equipment leases that we assumed as part of the acquisition of the commercial equipment leasing division. This acquisition is a valuable addition to Hanmi and provides several key strategic benefits. The portfolio of leases we acquired has an average yield of approximately 6%, a track record of excellent asset quality, and was immediately accretive to net income. This business also complements our strategic focus on business banking to diversify the Hanmi loan portfolio. And finally, this established Hanmi as a leading provider of small ticket leasing products to businesses nationwide and provides a platform from which we can scale the business in an efficient and profitable manner. Turning to organic loan production in the fourth quarter, production consisted primarily of $144 million of commercial real estate loans, $38 million of SBA loans, and $14 million of C&I loans. We also originated $30 million of commercial leases for the 2 months in the quarter that we operated our commercial equipment leasing division. In addition, total commercial line of credit, commercial lines of credit commitments increased to $392 million in the fourth quarter, up 10% on a year-over-year basis. At the end of the fourth quarter, loans represented 82% of total assets and 101% of deposits. This compares favorably to loans at 75% of total assets and 91% of deposits a year ago. The strong loan growth, including the higher-yielding commercial equipment leasing division portfolio, helped drive our fourth quarter net interest margin to an impressive 3.96%, up 10 basis points from the prior quarter. I also continue to be very pleased with our deposit franchise and in particular the strength of our retail branch network. Despite the normal seasonal slowdown in fourth quarter deposit activity, higher money market and savings balances helped increase total deposits by 1% in the quarter and 9% for the full year. Overall, total deposits increased to $3.81 billion and non-maturity deposits as of December 31, 2016 totaled 69% of the total deposits as compared to 60% as of December 31, 2015. As we evaluate adding new verticals like the commercial equipment leasing division this past quarter, I'm reassured by our ability to fund these investments with low-cost core deposits. And finally, we remain keenly focused on credit quality, and we are committed to maintaining our disciplined underwriting standards for our loan portfolio. Although we recorded charge-offs of $7.3 million in the quarter, $5 million was related to a PCI loan that we had reserved for in prior periods. Non-performing loans, excluding PCI loans, stand at only $11.4 million, or 30 basis points of loans, which reflects a 30 basis point improvement from a year ago. Our allowance for loan losses stands at 84 basis points of loans at the end of the fourth quarter. Excluding loans acquired in 2014 and 2016, our allowance for loan losses to loans was approximately 90 basis points. In terms of underwriting, the weighted average loan-to-value and debt coverage ratios on new commercial real estate loan originations for the fourth quarter were quite strong at 55.5% and 1.88 times, respectively. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Ron Santarosa, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the fourth quarter and full year operating results in more detail. Ron?
Thank you, C.G., and good afternoon, all. Fourth quarter net interest income increased 6%, or $2.5 million, to $42.1 million from $39.6 million in the third quarter. Our net interest margin on a taxable equivalent basis also increased 10 basis points to 3.96% from 3.86%. The increase in our net interest revenues and margin reflect the growth of our loan portfolio and the positive impact of the acquisition and commencement of the new leasing division. Quarter over quarter, average loans increased 6% to $3.7 billion, and the average yield on interest-earning assets increased 13 basis points, while the cost of interest-bearing liabilities rose only 5 basis points. Compared with the 2015 fourth quarter, net interest income was up 12% from $37.6 million, and net interest margin increased 3 basis points from 3.93%. These year-over-year increases further illustrate solid loan growth and the improvement in the mix of interest-earning assets. Average loans increased 21% year-over-year, with loans at 86% of average interest-earning assets, compared with 80% for the year-ago period. For the 2016 year, net interest income increased 8%, or $12.1 million, to $160.2 million from $148.1 million for 2015, principally because of the 18% increase in average loans. Net interest margin on a taxable equivalent basis and adjusted for the effects of acquisition accounting increased to 3.79% from 3.47%, driven by an 8% growth in average interest earning assets. Turning to non-interest income, we reported a sequential decrease of 7%, primarily due to the $1 million third quarter gain from the sale of a branch facility, offset in part by an increase in disposition gains on PCI loans. On a year-over-year basis, non-interest income decreased 31%, primarily because of the decrease in gains on security sales, SBA loan sales, and disposition gains on PCI loans. For 2015, gains on sales of securities were $6.6 million, and they were nil for 2016. Gains on the sales of the guaranteed portion of SBA loans for the fourth quarter were $1.8 million on $27.8 million of loans, compared with the third quarter, where gains were $1.6 million on $24.1 million of loans. Year over year, gains on sales of SBA loans were down $2.7 million. Disposition gains on PCI loans were $1.6 million for the fourth quarter of 2016, compared with $800,000 for the prior quarter and $2.1 million for the fourth quarter last year. Year over year, disposition gains fell to $5 million from $10.2 million. PCI loans were down 51% from a year ago and ended the year at $9.9 million. Non-interest expense for the fourth quarter decreased $2.4 million, or 8%, to $26 million from the preceding quarter, chiefly from the $1.4 million third quarter charge that was related to the finalization of prior year FDIC loss share claims. The decline in non-interest expense, combined with higher revenue, led to an improvement in the efficiency ratio to 51.77% from 58.72% in the prior quarter, and 56.78% a year ago. For the 2016 year, non-interest expense fell 6% to $108.2 million from $115.3 million for the same period, primarily due to reductions in merger and integration costs, professional fees, and data processing fees, along with lower salaries and employee benefits related to the branch closures and consolidations completed in the 2015 third quarter. The efficiency ratio improved to 56% for the year from 58.93% for the 2015 year. As CG mentioned, our asset quality continued to improve with non-performing assets at $18.9 million at the end of the fourth quarter, or 40 basis points of assets, compared with 50 basis points of assets at the end of the third quarter and 65 basis points of assets at the end of the same quarter last year. For the fourth quarter, we recognized a provision for loan losses of $151,000, an increase from a negative provision for loan losses of $1.5 million for the prior quarter. We recorded a negative loan loss provision of $4.3 million for the full year of 2016, which included a $664,000 provision for losses on TCI loans, compared with a negative loan loss provision of $11.6 million for the full year of 2015, which included a $4.4 million provision for losses on TCI loans. The effective tax rate for the fourth quarter was 40%, in line with the third quarter at 39%. The effective tax rate for the 2016 year was 36.8%, down from 41.5% for 2015, principally because of tax-exempt interest on municipal securities and a tax benefit arising from the finalization of our 2014 amended tax returns earlier this year. Lastly, our tangible book value was $16.03 per share, down 2.4% from the third quarter and up 4.1% from the end of the year-ago fourth quarter. Our tangible common equity ratio remains strong at 11.05%, as do all of our regulatory ratios. Now I'll turn the call back to CG.
Thank you, Ron. Excuse me. Thank you, Ron. The fourth quarter was the culmination of an excellent year driven by strong loan and deposit growth, sustainable expansion in core earnings, significant expense reductions, and continued credit quality. Overall, I was very pleased with our performance throughout 2016, and I believe Hanmi is well positioned to continue generating profitable growth in 2017 and beyond. I look forward to sharing our continued progress when we speak with you again next quarter. Thank you. Richard?
Matt, let's open the call for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to move your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Chris McGratty from Keefe, Bruyette and Woods. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. Did you maybe start with loan growth? Now that you've got the acquisition closed, can you maybe provide an update on growth expectations for 2017 and maybe parse it between portfolios where the growth is likely to come from?
You know, historically, since I've been here, we've been able to generate organic growth in the low double digits to mid double digits, and I believe that that's sustainable or achievable in 2017. That does include some level of acquisition of the single-family mortgages, as we have done over the last several years, but I expect that to be a relatively small portion. So just dialing out the acquisition and strictly focusing on the organically generated loans, I think it's eminently achievable for us to be in the low double digits to mid double digits in 2017.
Okay, great. Maybe if we just move to credit quality and provisioning. Obviously, 2016 was another strong year, but with the reserve kind of where it stands, and the new portfolio being added in the quarter, can you help us with provisioning expectations in kind of in light of what seems to be a pretty good growth outlook?
Yeah, it's likely that in 2017 we'll start the provision. There's a question as to whether or not we are going to be required to provision in the first quarter or not. It depends on the asset quality. It depends on the level of new loan production that we're generating. Having said that, though, I think it's likely that for the year as a whole, we may provision at the level of somewhere around maybe 50 to 100 basis points, depending on various factors.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks a lot. Maybe one for you, Ron, then I'll step back. I believe you said the PCI portfolio is down to about $10 million. What's the expectation, or what's left in terms of potential recoveries that'll run through the non-interest income line, and also maybe the pipeline of net recoveries just in the general portfolio? Thanks.
I think with the PCI loans being about half of where they were a year ago, I would expect some, but very small. It'll be sporadic, not a large contributor in 17. So I think most of the purchase accounting effects that we obtained, or most of the benefits we obtained from the acquisition of the distressed organization back in 2014, have been recognized. We'll be surprised from time to time, but I don't think they'll be a large part of our story going forward.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking the question.
Our next question comes from Bob Ramsey from FBR. Please go ahead.
Hi there. I was wondering if you could just clarify. I know you said provision would be 50 to 100 basis points. Is that of net loan growth, or just what is that of?
Yeah, the growth. Net loan growth, excuse me.
Okay, perfect. Got it. And then, you know, the expense level looked really good this quarter, especially figuring you did have a partial quarter impact of the equipment finance guys. Just wondering if you could talk about sort of how we should think about expenses headed into 2017.
See, that's a good question because, you know, we've had some fluctuations in the expense level translating into the expense ratio, the efficiency ratio fluctuating as a result. Our goal has been to keep the efficiency ratio around the mid-50s, and we get lucky maybe in the low 50s. You know, we have some growth aspirations in 2017 that's organic. Shortly we'll be making an announcement in terms of additional, producers who are going to be joining us, along with perhaps another office that we may be opening. So that will contribute to perhaps a short-term increase in the expenses, but over a 12-month period, we hope that it's going to settle down to a low to mid-50 kind of an efficiency ratio.
Okay. Fair enough. Is that what you're alluding to, is that hiring individuals and putting them in a new office, or is it more of an acquisition of a business?
At this point, it's hiring of individuals. We are evaluating acquisition of another business line, but there's no assurance that that's going to happen. And so at this point, it's going to be a couple of producers who are primarily in the C&I space.
Got it. Very good. And then you mentioned also evaluating another possible acquisition. Maybe you could share your thoughts a little bit on capital here and the avenues you may have to deploy it, you know, what the acquisition pipeline looks like, you know, what opportunities might be out there, et cetera.
Well, we have plenty of callers who are looking at Hanmi as a potential partner. And in that regard, we have a couple of different categories, one of which is in the traditional Korean American banking space. Other is in the other Asian space, which include the Chinese Americans and the South Asians. And thirdly, there are some specialty finance entities that after finding out about our partnering with the equipment leasing division folks, they have approached us about partnering with us. And so we have quite a few options that we're sorting through as we speak to pick the best path possible. That's going to consume some of the capital, as you may gather. And I guess to answer your potential next question in terms of our optimum kind of capital, common equity, tier one capital ratio, we think that we're going to be heading towards more of a 9 to 9.5 kind of a number.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Matthew Clark from Piper Jaffray. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, excuse me, Chief. On the core margin outlook, just curious, you know, with the remixing that you guys have been doing, you know, in getting that contribution of loans to earning assets up, just curious, you know, how much more of that might be left, whether or not we also might see some additional benefit in the securities portfolio from higher reinvestment rates in the upcoming quarter. And lastly, just the full quarter impact of, you know, the CSF deal, whether or not that might also help the margin. Just net-net curious if that core margin could creep a little bit higher here in the first quarter before maybe moderating.
I'm going to tag team with Ron in terms of answering this question, but the part that I'll take on is that I do believe that the equipment leasing division is going to continue to contribute in a significant way towards enhancing our margin in the forward periods. Having said that, though, like all banks, what's dragging down our net interest margin is the higher cost of funds. Where I think the entire industry, as in a rising rate environment, is experiencing that. I think we are to a lesser extent, but that's a kind of a headwind that we have and will continue to face. But I think the equipment leasing division will, along with the kind of quality assets that Bonnie and her team have been generating, I think it's going to more than offset that. Ron?
Yeah, I would just echo CG a bit. With the addition of the leasing portfolio, I'm a bit more optimistic or comfortable that the margin will be able to hold or improve slightly, at least in respect to the near term. But as you know, with interest rates rising, I would expect, as we move out to 17, there will be some cost pressures, and so that will start to subside whatever benefit or reduce whatever benefit that might be in front of us in the near term.
Also, I'd like to just add that the based on the asset liability position within Hanmi, we get the biggest bang for the buck as the rate increases head towards 1.5 to 2%. We're past 50 basis points. So this year, if the Fed is kind enough to move the rates more and with a little higher speed, that will obviously, like all banks, it's going to really help us tremendously.
Okay. And then just be curious what the weighted average rate was on the loan production this quarter. I think it was about 4.25 last quarter. Just curious whether or not that might have changed given what happened with rates in the quarter.
Sure. During the fourth quarter, new loan interest rate is at 4.69. And compare that from the third quarter, which was actually 4.37, so it was actually much higher.
Great. And then just last one, I think Paul mentioned that in your net charge-off that $5 million was related to a PCI loan. That still suggests about $1.7 million in net charge-offs. Just curious if there was anything else that might be lumpy in there, and whether or not that might be the new normal, or whether or not we might return to a more benign net charge-off level here, at least in the near term.
Well, my expectation is to return to the more benign history that we have had. We're not seeing anything in the horizon that would manifest in terms of a material level of charge-off.
Okay, and then just on the tax rate, it's been creeping up here the last few quarters. What should we use for 17?
40% would be a good estimate.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gary Tenner from D.A. Davidson. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. A couple of quick questions. Ron and CG both, I guess you had mentioned that the leasing division helped on the margin benefit. I assume you're talking about just the impact that had on the mix of assets in the quarter, because it looked like loan yields were basically flat or up 1 basis point in the quarter. So unless I'm missing something there, I just wanted to confirm what you were saying.
Yeah, the leasing portfolio in and of itself contributed, we think, to roughly about 8 to 9 basis points in terms of the improvement in the NIM for the quarter.
Okay, again, that was due to just the mix, just adding that mix of loans.
Yes,
correct. It's the dollar volume of the income contribution. While the leases do have a higher coupon, the coupon on the $200-some-odd million portfolio doesn't come through as much on the margin as if that's where you're going, Gary. It's more of the dollar contribution than the coupon contribution.
Okay.
From a basis point.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Just wanted to confirm that that's what you were saying. And then regarding the on the fee income side, deposit service charges peaked sort of mid-2015. They've been trending downward ever since. Can you kind of talk about what you're seeing there and what the outlook would be just for that line item, because it's a meaningful part of your fee income line.
So in that particular line item, industry as a whole, you know, people are writing less checks. So therefore, the traditional income contribution coming from the deposit fee income has been gradually coming down. And not only for us, I think that's an overall industry experience.
Okay. That's fine. And then last question I had, on the deposit cost side, CG, you mentioned, you know, some upward pressure there, and obviously the interest-bearing deposits were up about 4 basis points, they're up about 10 basis points over a two-quarter period. And last quarter, you know, some of the rationale was that you were sort of pre-funding the expected acquisition of the leasing division, which you ultimately announced, of course, and did, and then up another 4 basis points this quarter. How much more upward pressure do you think there is, let's say, over the next two quarters? And how much more pass-through is there to keep the deposits coming in commensurate with loan growth?
I think the fourth quarter trend is probably going to repeat itself in the first quarter at least. And once again, that's a function of the environment and the rate environment in particular, but I think it's likely that what happened in the fourth quarter is going to portend what's going to happen in the first quarter of this year.
Okay. Thanks for taking my questions.
You bet.
Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star one. And our next question comes from Don Worthington from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Other companies have reported receiving a special FHLB dividend. I assume you got one as well. How much was that, and where is it reported?
That was $559,000. And I'll let Ron say where it was recorded.
It's in the security interest income.
Okay. And that, in terms of, you know, the FHLB advances were up, you mentioned in the press release, it was to fund the leasing purchase. Were those basically short-term advances that will be paid back with deposits?
Yes, that's the goal.
Okay. And then lastly, there was, I guess, a net positive or net income from REO during the quarter. Can you give any more color on that?
We just had some recoveries on some property taxes and some other claims. So this goes back to a large part of the 2014 acquisition.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Our next question comes from Chris McGrady from Keefe, Bruyette & Woods. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the follow-up. Ron, just, I want to make sure I'm good on the balance sheet mix. With the remix that's been going on, the support of the margin, you know, as the bond portfolio has declined, you know, a decent amount year over year, at what point do you believe it troughs, or do we still see a little bit of a downward pressure on the, you know, $530 million kind of bond book?
We're at the trough, so we may decline a bit, but we're kind of hitting the bottom ideas at about 10% of assets.
Great. And was there any, just a nitpicky one on the margin, was there any benefit from solar premium amortization in the quarter? And if not, is there something we should be thinking about in the first quarter?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first part of the question. Any benefit?
No, I'm sorry. Just slower bond premium amortization. What was there a material change quarter on quarter?
On the bond portfolio? No, not much at all.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I'd like to turn the floor back over to management for any closing comments.
Thank you for listening to Hanmi Financial's fourth quarter and full year conference call. We're looking forward to speaking to you next quarter.
This concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time.